This episode of Energy Sense is brought to you by our Financial and Capital Markets Energy Advisory Group, part of S&P Global Commodity Insights. Our team of experts provides the investment community with actionable insight and integrated thought leadership that identify the trends and trend makers of global energy markets. Solutions cover the full energy and natural resources sector, from traditional fossil fuels to emerging clean tech ideas and supply chains, and are available via recurring reports, webinars, robust data sets, and personalized engagements with experts.
All right. Welcome back to Energy Sense, an S&P Global podcast covering all topics on the intersection of energy and finance. This is your host, Hill Vaden, and I am here today with Carlos Roca, who is talking to us from Brazil. Carlos, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me here, too.
Yeah, I'm glad to. And this idea, one of our colleagues put us together a couple of weeks ago, but this idea is we're talking about Brazil and how Brazil is positioning itself or repositioning itself for the changing landscape in energy. Obviously, Brazil, one of the leaders, I'll say, post 2000 in terms of offshore activity led by Petrobras. I mean, a lot of the discoveries, deep water. Obviously, the fossil fuel narrative is changing for all countries, Brazil or otherwise, and things like offshore wind and solar and other things are entering the conversation. How NOCs behave is different. National oil companies is different than investor-owned oil companies. So this will be kind of a wide-ranging conversation. But I wanted to start. Today is March 2nd, and this morning Petrobras released its quarterly earnings. So maybe if we just start there, how is Petrobras beginning the new year, this is the new year of 2023, but also the new year under leadership from Lula from late 2022?
Okay. Well, financial performance of the company was awesome. They did a record profit again. And this is good. And at the same time, it is a big trouble for the company because ideologically speaking, the new government considers that the profits that are directed to share repurchases or to the stockholders should be better used in new investments and in the job creation. So the company in the last years, especially in 2 years, had a lot of profits, but the profit was in an amount superior to the capex. Right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the company did a huge amount of offshore projects at the same time because the company was very smart in using the cash flow that the operations provided. For example, Petrobras didn't build the FPSOs anymore. They hired the FPSOs from leading companies. So they don't have to spend that $3 billion capex building an FPSO. The FPSO, they only have to start to pay the rental when they start to receive the revenues for the oil production of that production unit. So they were very smart in using the cash flow that the operation generated. They started a lot of products at the same time. They kept the production in pre-sal growing at a very fast pace, what is excellent for the company because the lifting cost of the pre-sal is very low because the productivity of the wells is fantastic. It's probably the best well productivity in offshore fields around the world. And the company reduced a lot the debt. So the company have a low debt now in dollar, have huge cash flow, have a pipeline full of projects, and have a lot of fields to develop in the future. For example, what the good part of the performance of Petrobras in the past years is that, for example, they have now, for the next 5 years, they have kind of 20 projects being in 15 different fields, and 16 of these projects are already hired. So the platforms are already in some phase of construction. Okay. Or the contracts were already signed. It means that you have already lots of projects that will be entering the next year, no matter the decisions of the government regarding the investments. So probably the decisions that can be made now regarding the investments of the company will have some impact if they have some impact, they will have some impact in 3 or 4 years ahead.
Okay.
So another interesting thing of Petrobras that was highlighted by the new president is that the focus of the company is still the oil production, generation of tax revenues with the production of oil royalties to help the government with the fiscal issue that is very important in Brazil, and to increase investments in energy transition. So the company plans to divert more of this profit to CapEx in different energy sources, mm-hmm. or projects related to decarbonization, or projects related to the downstream, instead of shares repurchase or dividends for stockholders. So this is the biggest change that can see in the outlook for the company in the next year. And more than that, the company is planning to, return to invest more in the downstream. Petrobras in the last year did a huge program of divestment, both in upstream and downstream. In upstream, they divested from older fields, mm-hmm. especially a lot of onshore fields that created a lot of jobs in poor regions of the country, and it created a lot of political noise. And it seems that the company will not divest of any of onshore areas anymore to avoid this kind of political tension, and will return to invest in this area to maintain, to keep, or to increase production. And in the offshore, the company was doing several divestments in older fields in Campos Basin, and it seems that it will be stopped, at least for this next years, and the company will return to invest in the recovery of the production in these areas. So, in fact, we have to say that the divestments of Petrobras in the last years gave rise to several new Brazilian industry, private oil companies in small size with low operating costs that recovered production of several of these offshore fields and are very profitable now. So I believe it can be not the best movement now. It's just stop the divestments, but seems that it's a guidance of the new government to keep the assets of the company as much as possible intact and make divestments only of opportunities that can be taken to generate profits to the company. But it's outside of the politics of the company portfolio management by divestments. Okay. And in the downstream, the company is planning to return the investments in refineries to increase the fuel production capacity.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the government for a minute. So in the last time, about 5 or 6 months ago, I was talking with Ford Tanner on a Energy Sense podcast just before Lula's reelection. That was, October of 2022. And so there's a new government coming into Brazil, a new government that is also an old government that has its own story. And obviously Lula's coming back into power as the definition of energy is changing in many ways. Petrobras is still that leading energy player. And you just noted that they would be using cash flows from the oil to reinvest or to invest in new forms of energy. Describe to me how the return of Lula is impacting Brazilian energy policy.
Well, Lula, he told a lot about energy transition during the campaign. So mm-hmm. he made the energy transition a flag of his government, as much as the job creation, mm-hmm. right? So they had this view to accelerate participation of the Brazil in the energy transition as an important player. However, there are some priorities for the government. The first was is tax revenues mm-hmm. that are important in this first 2 years at least, because the government is increasing a lot social expenditures. So they need to get this money from other place, and possibly it will be production of oil royalties. And right now they are discussing a new tax about the exports of crude oil from Brazil.
Okay.
I believe the new government may have to face a choice between having money to do other prioritized projects like the social parks or accelerate the energy transition. And what I felt today from the speech of the interview with Prats, the new president of Petrobras, is that he's not planning an accelerated transition to and decarbonization of the company. He's aiming to put the company in the position of an important player in oil production and expand the production, not just in pre-salt, but also trying to reach new frontiers like the Equatorial Margin next to the neighborhoods, neighboring the Guyana, close to the Amazon River. That is an environmental sensitive region, but in the past, the government of Lula was very competent in starting projects of infrastructure, even in relatively sensitive regions like the huge power plants, hydroelectric power plants that are operating in Amazonas right now. So it's not a problem for the government. They already embraced the environmental flag. But once Petrobras can prove that there's a limited environmental impact in the drilling exploration campaign in Foz do Amazonas, they will go ahead looking for these new resources. And Petrobras told that they are not going to, for example, for hydrogen by themselves. Mm-hmm. They are going in partnership of an international player. They are looking for develop together technology, to acquire technology from outside. And they told a lot also that the gas have to be a step in the energy transition. So the Brazilian gas market is not that well developed.
Natural gas.
So when they told about development of hydrogen, for example, they told about blue or turquoise hydrogen that comes from processing of natural gas and not for a green hydrogen coming from renewable energy sources. So they told a lot. Yes.
So what is that when Lula is prioritizing the quote unquote energy transition? Is there a sector of technologies that Lula is particularly interested in? Is it just reducing the average carbon from Brazil, or is there an indifference that as long as it's lower carbon than oil, then Lula's supportive of it? Or are there some things that he's just saying we're not going to pursue that?
Well, I believe Lula's politician is very smart and is very worried about the way the world sees Brazil. So he has to show that Brazil is doing his part in the decarbonization of the world. So what I felt from Petrobras, they are more interested in wind offshore. They told that they have plans to start investments in wind offshore. Once Prats told that he don't have expectation of see green hydrogen in the short term, I believe they are counting with some kinds of subsidies to put the offshore wind power generation in the grid.
Okay.
Not for hydrogen production or these kind of things.
And do they have the mandate to do that? And a lot of these national oil companies have the mandate for oil and gas development or refining, but there's a separate entity that gets into the power generation. Petrobras
is already have the biggest fleet of thermoelectric power plants in the country.
Okay.
Some of these power plants are not that much efficient. So in the order of starting, the Brazilian grid starts first the power plants with better efficiency and later with the worse efficiency. So Petrobras is not the biggest generator, but is the company with the biggest installed capacity of thermal power generation. So they already have the expertise to operate in the energy sector, in the electrical energy sector. And they have expertise in offshore, in developing complex and long and capital-intensive projects in offshore. So they are the best player in Brazil to start to the development of the offshore wind in the country.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. So offshore wind and obviously the historical, and you've seen that across industry where offshore players, oil and gas, are moving into offshore wind faster than others because of the complications of large offshore engineering projects. and given the already the mandate of the power sector there. So talk a little bit about that. And you put out a report, I guess, just a few weeks or a few months ago on offshore wind with this great cartoon where you had overlain M1 Abrams tanks on the blades of the offshore windmill to indicate just how heavy these things are. That it's the equivalent, if you've got a windmill with three blades, it's the equivalent of three M1 Abrams tanks spinning around in a circle. So how is Brazil preparing for perhaps an advent of offshore wind through Petrobras?
Well, I believe it fits very well in some plans of the government. The government of Lula told that wants to rejuvenate the shipbuilding industry in Brazil. And the shipyards are places where you can do part of the supporting structure of this amazing and extremely complex structures that are the offshore wind generators. So the best way, for example, the supporting infrastructure of the offshore wind can be a jacket, or a monopile. A monopile is a cylindrical piece of steel, very strong, that is nailed at the ocean floor and keeps the tower and the wind turbine above the sea level. But you can do the same thing with a jacket, the same jacket used in offshore platforms of shallow water. So okay. The shipyards, they can do this. It's more expensive than doing it with the monopile. Yes, it's more expensive, but in a
context, jacket is more expensive.
The jacket
is
more expensive, but in a context of subsidies to and not just to foster this energy, but also to rejuvenate the shipbuilding industry, you can imagine Petrobras doing this kind of things, investing in offshore wind and using the shipbuilding infrastructure in Brazil to make at least part of the technology that is used. Petrobras already have a large fleet of supply vessels that can be used in the offshore installation. Of course, they have the very specialized vessels, but they have support bases, they have ports, they have all the maritime infrastructure to do that. The core technology, that's 60-ton blades and the nacelles and the generators, they will be imported. We don't have this expertise, not even for onshore wind here in Brazil. Even after several years of development of onshore wind, we were not able to develop that technology. So probably we'll not be able to develop this technology in short time to offshore wind either. But it fits well in the plans of the government of using the company to create job and to increase and fits in the strategic plan of the company in investing in low carbon forms of energy.
How about so you mentioned that tax revenues are one of the top priorities of the government, given all the social programs. At what cost is there to tax revenue if there's reinvestment or investment outside of oil into the offshore wind? Is there a system well set up for the wind to be generating revenue to help balance the Petrobras budgets?
Well, this is one of the doubts of the market, because in the previous governments of the workers' parts of Lula, they used Petrobras to keep the Petrobras and other state-owned companies like Eletrobras, that was the sister company of Petrobras in the electrical sector. Okay. And they used the companies to keep the energy prices low to control the inflation. So Petrobras do not produce all the fuel that is demanded by the Brazilian economy. So they have to import diesel, mainly diesel and gasoline. And in that time, in the previous government, Petrobras was purchasing fuels at a higher price that the company was selling to the internal market. So it created a huge debt in the company, a debt that the company is reducing in the last years and now is in a very comfortable position. So it's a fear of the market that the company is used to the government to provide low energy at low cost at the expenses of the financial wealth of the company.
Okay, and so what are some of if you're thinking about, so the earnings come out today, Lula's been in power now for 6 months, but what are some of the things that we should really be paying attention to that would be signals in one direction or the other of where the Brazilian market is heading, and specifically within that, where Petrobras is heading? I mean, Petrobras, throughout the oil ambition, the subsalt discoveries, there's been some aggressive production targets. So I think, should one expect more aggressive targets within the low carbon environment?
Well, it's clear that the company wants to increase production, not just production of oil, but also production of fuel for the internal market. So we expect more aggressive investments, or at least as aggressive as now. So this is something that it's clear. One thing that can complicate it is another question that it's very much part of the ideology of the workers' party and Lula. That's the local content. That's the use of Brazilian shipyards to build the platforms. And in the past, we had awful results. We had a lot of delays. We had overcosts that actually, how can I say, delayed the increase of production of Petrobras.
Of oil production.
Mm-hmm. They delayed the production a lot. At the same time, the company was expending a lot of money purchasing fuel at higher prices that was selling. It's one of the causes that Petrobras became one of the most indebted companies in the world in 2015. So we had a bad sign in the recent days that yesterday Petrobras announced a reduction in the fuels price to compensate an increase in the taxes over the fuels that the government approved. So it's kind of the government promised not a direct interference in the price politics of Petrobras, but it already happened, right? Another thing that we have to pay attention is regarding the bid rounds.
Great.
Because in the past government of Lula, he froze any bid rounds in the pre-salt area to give time to Petrobras to make cash, to allow the company to take care of all the pre-salt by itself, without needing the partnership with international oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't believe that is something that will happen again, because since 2015 until now, there were several bid rounds and in pre-salt, and even with the participation of the IOCs, Petrobras is still the most important player and the owner of most of the assets in pre-salt. So I believe the government will see that there's not any kinds of hazards of the nationalization of the resources of oil, allowing IOCs to participate of bid rounds. So, but it's something that have to be in the radar of everyone. I believe one other thing that is coming, there are some projects that are in procurement stage, like there are some FPSOs for Búzios 11, Búzios 12, you have new projects for Albacora, for Maromba, and maybe...
I'm going to interrupt just real quick, but FPSO, which you've used a couple times, is floating production storage and offloading, for those listening that may not catch the reference, but go on, sorry.
So Petrobras is probably will be starting the procurement process of these units 2023 or 2024, and we will see if the company will return to the model of owned vessels built in Brazil, in Brazilian shipyards, and EPC contract models, or if the company will continue to lease units from international contractors like MODEC or SBM. So then we will have a feeling of how the company will manage this subject of local content in the next years. Let me see. And the last important thing that you have to wait for is the strategic planning that probably will happen in the third quarter, because the company so far is keeping the same strategic planning, but the new president is weeks in the position, and the board didn't change it yet. So the ones responsible for approve a new strategic plan are the same in the previous governments, and they will be changed in the near future. Then the company will be able to present a new strategic plan, and then we will actually see in details what the company is expecting for the future.
And what are you, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What are you thinking, let's say 10 years from now, so we're talking in 2033 or 2033, Petrobras, today I most associate with offshore oil. Of course, the word Petro is at the start of the company name. There's a lot of oil companies, whether NOC or otherwise, making a strategic reallocation of capital into non-oil activities. Some of these companies have gone out in one direction saying, we're going to reduce our spend on oil. And they've come back now that oil is making a lot of money saying, wait a minute, we're going to go back the other way. Petrobras, are they going to stick to their knitting? And are we going to, 10 years from now, are we still going to be thinking of them as one of the world's premier offshore oil and gas operators? Or are we going to be talking about them as more of an offshore wind player or something else entirely?
No, I believe there are two things that come to my mind. The first is that national oil companies, like you see in Pemex, like you see in other national oil companies in Latin America, they are less sensitive to pressure from stockholders and the market. They are more driven by the desires of the governments. So all these companies will move in the energy transition and speed slower than the international oil companies that are receiving a lot of pressure from the society, from stockholders and everything like that. And the president of Petrobras, he seems to me a very pragmatic person, and he considers a slow transition to the low carbon energy sources. So I still see Petrobras a huge player, mainly an offshore oil producing company in 2033. And I expect to see the first project to wind offshore being online by 2030.
Okay.
So the company will be just starting the energy transition. Because look, right now we don't even have, we only have requests for environmental licensing for the offshore wind farms. We don't even have the environmental permit emitted yet. We don't have exclusive auctions for offshore wind power. So where subsidies are expected because what we believe will be the cost of the offshore wind energy in Brazil is not competitive with the current energy sources that are solar and onshore wind. And different from other like England, we have a lot of space to put onshore wind yet. So if we are doing wind offshore, it will be needed some kind of subsidies. And this framework is not in place yet. So we need to develop all of that to start the project.
And how's the wind? I mean, I know people talk a lot about these super energy basins that have a lot of wind and oil and gas underground. And I think the Equatorial Margin, parts of it over toward Africa or even Europe, have the oil and the wind. The North Sea has the oil and the wind. The Gulf of Mexico, I understand, has the oil, but is less advantaged by the wind. Brazil, do you have the wind and the oil?
Yes,
definitely got the oil.
Well, we have the oil, but we don't have that good resources of wind in the region of the Campos and Santos Basin. The best wind resources are in that region of the Equatorial Margin, where the company expects to find oil as well. If we have this Petrobras having exploratory success in that region, then we can see, we expect a huge increase in energy infrastructure in the north of the country.
Okay, so there's wind on the Equatorial Margin on both sides, South America and Africa.
Yeah.
And of course, there's tons of fossil fuel in the Equatorial Margin. So that's...
Yes, most of the onshore wind farms in the north of the country right now. So it's the biggest wind speed and the biggest capacity factor.
All right. Well, something for us to watch. Well, Carlos, thank you. That's a wonderful conversation to follow up the one we had just a few months ago. And hope we can have you back to talk more about Petrobras and transitioning Brazilian energy environment.
Okay, thank you. It's a pleasure.
This podcast contains insights and data copyrighted by S&P Global. To learn more about our solutions or read additional market research, visit us at spglobal.com.